Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hey, football fans, it's Andrew Filippone, host of the First and Pod podcast. Join me and my co-host, three-time All-Pro Patrick Peterson, as we break down every game every week. New episodes drop on Monday and Friday mornings. Be sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Defense go to work.
Well, that was a flawed plan.
And I think they're going to go back to that tomorrow.
Pony.
And if we've learned anything about Tomlin, it's that we can't trust his defense to come through in these playoff games.
That plan, though, only works if your quarterback is as nimble and as spry as he was in those early years. Russ's first three seasons in the NFL, running the football, he ran for almost 1,900 yards on 308 attempts. He was running 6 yards at a pop. He led the NFL in yards per attempt when he qualified for enough of them in 2014. He had 849 yards. He was going for 7.2. Like, the running element of his game was a big part of his game. And then right around the time you would expect it to taper off, 2020, I would say, early 30s, it did. And now he is a much different and inferior runner of the football. And you can't build a game plan around our defense is good, our quarterback makes the big plays when we need him to, when many of those big plays in Seattle were either runs that he just made when the play broke down and got 20 yards or something, or plays where he used his legs to extend the play and then made a big throw downfield.
Here's what we got in store for you over the course of the final hour of the show, our last hour previewing Steelers-Ravens. Mark Schlereth is coming out of the abyss at 5:30. Mark got dunked on by us when Russ still first went in the lineup and played great. So he might come on here and try to enact some revenge and scoff at the way Russ has played lately. He will give us a breakdown of this game. We also have Open Phone Friday in 15 minutes. Now, all day we've taken calls from Steelers fans and asked them, what are your expectations for this game? And it's pretty split right now. I've kept a running tally on this. We've got one that, from the ones I've written down from our big-time callers, I've got 1, 2, 3 Steelers upset picks, and I've got 3 Ravens picks. So we will hear from some of our heavy hitters. Some of the big names have chimed in today. Your Mr. Old School, your Jeff in South Park, people of that ilk.
Your Texas Keith, although he sounded strangely like Johnny the Barber.
So you can get in queue now and be a part of that at 412-928-9370. But without any further ado, this man is a Super Bowl champion, and we would love for the Steelers to get back to playing that quality and that kind of football, but I'd settle for a playoff win against the hated Ravens. That would suffice. B-Mac Bryant McFadden is back with us. Bryant, give me the vibe in the McFadden household. Are spirits high for this game against the Ravens tomorrow night?
Hold on. There we go.
Sorry, B-Mac. I'm hoping you heard my question, and please go for it.
Uh-oh. Hold on. We might have to...
B-Mac, you there?
You got us, B-Mac?
I'm here. Okay. Yeah, I'm here.
Give me a vibe check on this game. How you feeling?
I'm 50-50. Honestly, I'm 50-50. And, of course, I have reasons to feel either side. I think with the Pittsburgh Steelers for us, I mean, it's been such a long time since we've seen winning football. You know, you're far removed from that element. But I still believe there's a chance we can correct our wrongs. And we're playing against a very, very familiar opponent, a team we know extremely well. We've had success against them, against their quarterback. And there lies the opportunity for me to be optimistic.
Biggest reason, other than that familiarity, that you think the Steelers could pull the big upset here and beat the Ravens?
Our offense can show a pulse. Our offense could protect the football and not allow turnovers to be a common theme within their game plan. And that's the reason why. I think for our team, what we're seeing now, guys, we're not good enough to have turnovers and still win ball games. I don't think we don't seem to be that type of ball club. So I think our offense can kind of generate positivity against the Baltimore Ravens defensively.
Do you think Russell Wilson will outplay Lamar Jackson tomorrow night?
No. And I'm not saying that Russell has to outplay Lamar Jackson to win, but I think Russell needs to be the smarter quarterback, because the first meeting against the Ravens in Pittsburgh, Russell didn't necessarily outplay Lamar Jackson. He just was smarter with the football. You know what I mean? I think that led to Russell doing what he was able to do. I mean, if you want to have a one-on-one matchup, Russell versus Lamar Jackson, granted, that doesn't happen in the game of football, but just in terms of stats, Russell would probably never win those matchups because Lamar Jackson is one of the best players in the National Football League. But I think if Russell is the smarter quarterback, then that is more realistic.
Will the Steelers stop Derrick Henry in this game?
They have to, and I think they will.
Ooh.
I think if you're Pittsburgh, you know, Derrick Henry didn't really get off the first game. He got off the second game. But not having Zay Flowers is their best playmaker in the passing game. Now, I understand Mark Andrews is the most reliable playmaker, most reliable weapon in the passing game. But playmaker, that's Zay Flowers. Not having the lineup, that should give you the opportunity to put a little more attention into neutralizing the ground game. And I'll say this, if they don't stop Derrick Henry, we don't win. So I'm putting the emphasis on knowing how important that is and knowing that the Steelers will do everything in their power to neutralize Derrick Henry.
Do you think the light bulb goes on for George Pickens in this game?
Yo, I hope so. George Pickens, I thought about, you know, how Zay Flowers is the playmaker for their offense in the passing game. George Pickens is pretty much our only playmaker on the offensive side. And, you know, we need to see George Pickens not allow his emotions to block his talent. And I think that's what we've seen. You know, sometimes he allows his emotions to stand in front of his talent, and he doesn't give you the ability that we know he has.
So how do you channel that properly here?
Yeah,
how do you get that out of him,
B-Mac? If you haven't figured out how to get it out of him now, how can you do it on this biggest of games?
hey, that, listen, that's a great question. I guess for me, just being in locker rooms and being around guys who we respect, those are players that can get anything out of any given individual. You know what I mean? And I think that's a roster problem, you know, in terms of how to get it out. Because the coaches only can do so much, guys. The coaches can only do so much. But in terms of the personnel, the leader's got to find a way to challenge and get him to be more of a professional and not allow his emotions to get the best. So to answer your question, how can you get it out of him? Someone who plays, who puts on a helmet, someone who puts on a jersey, that should be their job. And it shouldn't be a job because someone forces them to do it. It should be a job because you know how important George Pickens is, and you know what he can do.
B-Mac, give me a Steelers defensive player who you think has the potential to have a huge positive impact on this game.
It's only right that I picked Patrick Queen.
Ooh.
You remember how good Patrick Queen was the first game?
Yes, he was probably the best
game. It's the best game he's played as a Steeler, in my opinion.
That game, and I agree with you guys, I think that was the best game in a Steelers uniform. But for some reason, it felt like it was personal. Now, it makes sense because that was his former team. He said they didn't really offer him a contract. But we need that same Patrick Queen tomorrow. We need Patrick Queen that came out in the first meeting to show up in this playoff game. Make it personal. They didn't like you. They didn't want you back. Whatever motivation you had in the first meeting, you need that same motivation in this third meeting.
B-Mac, what offensive strategy do you like better? Come out, try to run the ball, don't turn it over, play it close to the vest, trust the defense to win the game, or come out guns a-blazin', put the ball in Russ's hands, and try to throw the ball and sneak attack the Ravens to start the game?
Well, you can't play scared, because if you play scared, you get scared results. That's never a good thing. But you have to be smart as well. And I'll say this. I'm not saying you got to put the ball in Russ's hands, but allow him to be a playmaker. And also, too, stop being so predictable. I saw a stat. I think it was our last game. Well, we ran the football every down on first down. I think it was either in the first half or the second 12 half.
12 straight first down runs. The only time they broke from that was either in the two-minute drill or when they got down so much late in the game they were left no choice but to throw it.
Like, how do you expect to win being so predictable like that?
I agree.
So, don't play – you can't play scared.
How much Justin Fields should we see in this game?
Yo, I've been calling for Justin Fields for the last few weeks. Mostly in red zone opportunities.
Mm.
Because in red zone opportunities, we got – that's why Chris Boswell has been unbelievable, because he's had so many opportunities because we don't score a lot of touchdowns.
It's true.
And I know one thing about playoff football, you guys know as well. If you settle for field goals in playoff football, you're going to lose. But when Russ is in the game, you don't have to worry about the threat at the quarterback position be a runner. But when Justin Fields is in the game, now you have to worry about defending 12 guys. Right, it's not 11 anymore. It's 12 because Justin is a quarterback and he can turn into a runner. That is another element that actually can help our red zone woes.
BMAC, Pony, is it time for official BMAC prediction?
You can get
here?
One more in if you want.
All right, Malzi. BMAC, if this game is tied at the half, do you give the Steelers or the Ravens a better chance to close it if they can play 30 close minutes because they've gotten their doors blown off in playoff games early on recently and really in the last four regular season games? If the Steelers and the Ravens are tied at the half, who wins?
I love that for Pittsburgh. I feel like if it's a close ball game at halftime, I side with the Steelers. And I said this earlier. I feel like two things can happen in this ball game, guys. And correct me if I'm wrong. Let me know how you feel. Either the Steelers win or they get blown out.
Oh, I think they could lose a close game. So I don't agree with that. But I think of the things you point out, one of the outcomes is the most likely in the game, yes. And that would be the Steelers getting blown out.
And see, the reason why is because the Pittsburgh Steelers for the last four or five plus weeks, we've seen slow starts.
Yep.
Ugly starts. Right? Untimely turnovers. If that happens again, that snowball's going to get bigger and bigger as it comes down the hill. So that's my concern. Like, you know, it's like no gray area. But we'll see. But into your question, like if it's a tie game at halftime, I think that sides more for Pittsburgh because Pittsburgh didn't get off to a slow start. And now they're not fighting from behind. Because our offense, they're not set up to fight from behind early in ball games.
Intern Dom, moment of truth time. Bring that music down a little bit. BMAC, Brian McFadden, earlier in the year, before it all started, said this team was going to go to the Super Bowl. So far, all week, the only man that had the guts to pick the Steelers to pull the upset was the big fella, Mark Cabali. He said Steelers 24, Ravens 20. BMAC, your official Steelers-Ravens score prediction.
I'm right there with Mark. Mark, we're the lone wolves. Hey, we're the lone wolves right now. I'm with Mark. I have Pittsburgh winning an ugly game, but a winning game, 19-16. Oh, yes, that's AFC North right there. 19-16, Steelers win.
BMAC, by definition now, if there's more than one of you, you're no longer lone wolves. You're now starting to form a small pack.
Yeah, but we're lone wolves. Plural. There's only two of us right now.
Yes.
To have a pack, you've got to have at least four, I thought.
That's actually a good call.
We'll research that to see if that's true or not. BMAC, thanks so much, man.
Yeah,
appreciate
that. I think to have a pack, you need at least four. It's only two of us right now, Mark. Let's go.
Enjoy the game tomorrow night, BMAC. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah,
he might be right about that.
If it's ugly, and I'm sensing the Steelers have the momentum, and John Harbaugh's starting to sweat it out, and Lamar goes into playoff Lamar mode, I'm going to start texting BMAC. Sending him pictures of my victory cigar. All right, how's this one on the scale of getting you up for a game?
Pretty good. Pretty good. Our runout song was, I think it was just Hell's Bells.
Well, we already went to our ACC well here.
ACDC.
Did I say ACC?
Yeah, the old ACC.
Oh, yes.
Their famous song, Thunderstruck.
All right. 5:15, time to start your weekend off right with Archie's Famous Wings. It is the world-famous Open Phone Friday. We turn the show over to you. Steelers and Ravens preferred, but not the only thing we'll talk about. It's your canvas here. Mark Schlereth, who really was anti-Russell Wilson when the season started. He has looked at the film on both teams. He studied the way that the Ravens have played the Steelers. And he's going to tell us in 15 minutes how the Steelers win this game. And let's see if he agrees with BMAC. BMAC said Russell Wilson does not have to play better than Lamar Jackson in order for the Steelers to win the game.
Said he has to play smarter than Lamar.
I think that's probably calling on personal experience and upsets, because I would say at the end of the day, Ben did not play a better game than Peyton Manning.
Played a hell of a first quarter.
In the 05 playoffs, exactly.
Played one hell of a first quarter, and then they hung on for dear life.
And they ran the ball well in that game, and BMAC made that big play on Reggie Wayne.
We haven't considered even one time, though, just how much of a struggle it might be for them against a Dean Pease defense today. Oh, we haven't
Mike
brought
Tomlin
up Dean Pease.
Makes Dean Pease out to be like 10 times smarter than Dick LeBeau. All right, 412-928-9370. Let's talk to... we got to go to this guy. I'll write down his official prediction. Daryl in Houston. Hello, Daryl.
Hey, guys. Good Friday.
Daryl, you're a wise sage of this show's caller base.
He's also been a realist. He doesn't drink Kool-Aid. He tells it like it is.
You tell us if you think we're out of line, but you also tell us if you think we're right on the money, even if it's a negative opinion we're giving. What do you got for us?
I got Baltimore, and I don't even know why it's even that complicated. This team is totally given up. The coaches sapped any bit of confidence they had with a game plan that made Woody Hayes look like Don Coryell last week. And just to me, I'm a little bit concerned about Tomlin from this perspective. If that's your plan going into a game against a team you put up 500 total yards against, 400 yards passing, if that's your plan, I don't want to use the word unhinged, but I'll use the word concerned. And pressure gets to everyone. So maybe he's feeling a little bit of pressure, because there's no reason. There's nothing rational about what he did. There's nothing logical. And shout out to Mr. Old School, a member of my fraternity and a member of Tomlin's fraternity, Kappa Alpha Psi, I had to say that. And to understand that this is not sustainable at any level, not even a peewee ball.
Mr. Old School picked Steelers 28, Ravens 20. So you are taking the other fork in the road here, or the other road. With your prediction.
I love him from a frat perspective, but his football acumen may be a little...
You know why, Daryl? You're down there in Houston, Texas, and he's here in Pittsburgh. You're out of the fishbowl, able to look at it more clearly. Do you have a score in mind for this game?
Yes, we need that.
I got a score. I'm talking 27-14 or 27-13.
Two touchdown or
two field goals. I'm going with Baltimore. I don't think it's going to be even that close. They'll cover. They'll get out the box fast, because what I haven't heard listening to you guys in the shows is they're not taking into consideration that this is a playoff game. This is the first time we're going to meet them at their place in a playoff game with those two beasts in the backfield and with Lamar and King. And they're going to this is going to be a different environment. They're going to come out fast. We're going to come out flat. They're going to be up 14-0. We've seen this movie before.
That's what I keep saying, and thank
Daryl, you and I, brother, are fishing in the same pond with all this.
The same movie. That's why I've said I can't pick the Steelers, because it's a shame on... Fool me once, shame on you. Yep. Fool me twice, shame on me.
We won't get fooled again.
And I fell for it when they lost to Kansas City in the playoffs in Ben's last year. I said I can't pick a Tomlin coach team to win a playoff game until I see it. That's why I liked the Bills last year. And so I'm still on that bandwagon, even though I admit Lamar Jackson and John Harbaugh have a propensity to screw playoff games up too. I just think Mike has a stronger likelihood of doing that, because his team isn't as good and his quarterback isn't as good, as much as it pains me to say that. Mike in Morningside, longtime listener. What do you got, Mike?
Hey, guys. If I thought that Tomlin would go, if they don't win this playoff game, I would root for the Ravens. But I don't see that happening.
Because it won't.
So I will root for the Steelers, but I will say 27-10 Ravens.
Okay. Thank you, Mike.
the same thing everybody else has said.
I'm still getting over that. I know why, because it just sounds
gallows humor.
Sounds exasperated. Also, a game plan that made Woody Hayes look like Don Coryell is one of the best lines that's been uttered on this show in months.
Bob in Oklahoma, no doubt rooting for Ohio State tonight, joins us. Hello, Bob. Bob?
No, he's not.
I guess not. Brian in Portland, we've heard from before. Hello, Brian.
Hey, guys.
Hey, man.
So, a couple things real quick. Take off speaker. A couple things real quick. First of all, the Steelers have one bad situation with Tomlin. I think the Ravens have two with Lamar and Harbaugh.
What's our situation with Russ before I let you finish the point? You think that's a good situation?
I think that Russ is going to reel it in enough to actually perform and lead this team because he sees himself as a leader. That's why he's positive all the time.
Mm.
I think Ben saw himself as a leader too, but he lost playoff games to Blake Bortles and Tim Tebow, Brian.
Do you really think that Ben was a leader? I know that you don't. I know that you think that Ben was better than
Russ. Good
fair,
rebuttal.
Fair.
Fair
enough. You got it.
Not a leader.
Ted to rights here.
All right, Brian. Well said. Well done.
So I'm going to go 23-13 Steelers, and
wow.
I really think that
13 points.
I really think that Tomlin has no option but to get out of his own way and stop living in his own fears. The irony that he lives in his fears more than anybody that's ever coached is insane.
If his back was against the wall because the owner of this football team had put down a pretty clear edict that it was put up or shut up time and he was coaching for his job, I'd agree. He doesn't have that edict. He never will have that edict as far as we can tell, as Art Rooney's, in charge. So he can continue to coach it the way he wants to coach it.
One of the great football minds in America joins us next. Mark Schlereth. He won Super Bowls with the Redskins and Broncos. You see him on TV now, FS1. He does a great podcast for Odyssey, just like the one I do with Patrick Peterson. Pat was so troubled by the George Pickens antics that he started dropping F-bombs on our last episode.
Do you have an editor who can get rid of those?
Yeah. Yeah, post-production, but he was riled up by George.
Did you have to say, Pat, remember, they don't want us saying that word.
No, I said, Pat, do it more, please.
Wow. R-rated.
And we know that Mark Schlereth he coined the phrase toxic positivity with Russ. So let's see if he thinks Russell Wilson can get back to the Russ he was early in his Steelers career and not the guy that we've seen lately.
Hey, let's win the last four, all right?
Yeah.
Let's go. We can do it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Don't doubt now.
Yeah.
You feel me? Let's go
you.
Win the last four.
Russell Wilson on Hard Knocks, his message to a flu-ridden Cam Hayward, who is sicker than a dog and had just played one of the games of the year. By the way, congrats on that first team All-Pro selection, Cam Hayward, aging like a fine wine, getting better with age, a Benjamin Button type, if you will. Russ had butchered the two-minute drill, and he was saying, let's go win four. And he also said after the game, I don't want to talk about the game. The past is the past. Let's concentrate on the playoff matchup. Well, somebody who warned us of that kind of personality and attitude towards things, and that being the Russell Wilson experience. As a guy who watched him in Denver, won Super Bowls in Denver, won a Super Bowl in Washington, and is now Odyssey NFL analyst Mark Schlereth, host of the Stinkin' Truth podcast. Make sure to check it out on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Also co-host of the hit FS1 morning show Breakfast Ball with one of my best friends, Danny Parkins. Did a podcast with him for Odyssey, and Danny is an idiot who still thinks Caleb Williams is one of the five best quarterbacks in the NFL. So I like that Mark is putting him in his place every weekday morning. Stink, your thoughts on how Russell Wilson is playing going into the postseason?
Well, obviously, I mean, it hasn't been good. Now, he hasn't had a lot of help from George Pickens. That guy's hands are made of feet all of a sudden, and, and that never helps. Freiermuth dropped that seam down the middle of the football field, which was a really great throw. So, that has happened, but they've lost four games in a row, three of them by double digits. They just have not played that well offensively. And so You know, it was one of those situations where, like, we had talked earlier in the season, and when he came out, you know, I tipped my cap and said, "Hey, man, listen, he's playing much better than he played in his 2 years in Denver." And mm-hmm. those, you know, the stats were good his last year in Denver. They were hollow stats. As I told you guys, it wasn't what you think it was. And I'm seeing more of that here the last 4 weeks, more of the way he finished or he played in Denver than what he started looking like after week 6 when he came in there and actually played pretty well for several weeks.
Stink, I got to say, that clip we played at the beginning there really was the first time I understood the toxic positivity, Russ. Like, I wanted to pull my hair out when I saw that because it made me so angry knowing how that last drive went. What do you make, though, of the fact that he had his best game as a Steeler against the Bengals, over 400 yards, they had over 500 yards of offense, and then despite getting that bad defense at home, they pretty much took the air out of the football until the fourth quarter when they were down. Do you think Mike Tomlin was doing him any favors with that kind of game plan?
Well, I mean, listen, I think a lot of the things that go on are based upon, from a game planning standpoint, what you feel like your guy can handle, what you feel like your team can handle, all those things. You know, when they sit together as coaches and the coaching staff, they sit there and say, okay, what do we have to do to score? Like, what do we have to do to win this football game? What kind of defense do we have to do? How many points do we have to limit them to? How many points can we score on the offensive side of the ball? So, you know, they have more information than we do. And you know, I think some of it's managing risk and all that stuff. I mean, you look at Russ, and like, Russ's quality is dump the ball off quickly, right? Getting it outside the numbers, and then the deep ball. And when the deep ball is not at your disposal because George Pickens all of a sudden can't catch or whatever the case may be, like, those are the two things he does well. And you know, the biggest issue, and you talk to Sean Payton and you talk to Pete Carroll, the biggest issue is his propensity to take sacks. And I know that there were some bad protection, you know, bad breakdowns in protection, but his propensity to hold the ball, to try to make something that's not there, you know, open, and then to take a sack. And when you take a sack in any drive, you score less than 10% on those drives. So they're just throwing away drives. You take a sack, you take 3 or 4 sacks a game. You essentially, if a game is 12 possessions, an average game is about 12 to 13 possessions, you take 4 sacks, you're down to 8 possessions. And it's really hard to put any significant points on the board when you've got the ball 8 times. And so those are big issues that the general population, the general fan doesn't understand or doesn't see in regards to how football operates. And, you know, oftentimes you'll say, well, they didn't protect him very well or whatever. You got to throw your check down. You got to know when, you know, they're bringing overload blitz. You got to understand this. If you can't escape out the back of the pocket, all the things that drive you crazy as an analyst, those are the things that he consistently does and you know, will always consistently do.
Mark Schlereth with us, the Stinkin' Truth podcast, a longtime NFL analyst, 3-time Super Bowl champion on Steelers and Ravens and Russell Wilson. You've been harsh on George Pickens in this interview so far. Mark, I don't blame you because I feel the same exact way with some of the things you've said about him and the way he played against the Bengals. As a guy that is a champion and played in the NFL for a long time and has made a career talking about the NFL, what is your reaction to the immature behavior, not only the drops, but the things that happen with him, like Freiermuth having to pull him away from screaming at fans and getting into it with fans, Wilson basically having to have a father-son conversation with him on the sideline during the last game, and some of the antics that happened with him with players and pouting and taunting and things of that nature, Mark?
Yeah, I just don't have time for it. I always say this, just that when my son got drafted to play professional baseball, I sat down with him and said this. I said, just because you play a pro sport doesn't make you a professional. And I was a professional freaking football player. And that comes with some responsibility to your teammates, to the way you handle yourself in public, to the way you prepare to play well. And when you are a petulant child, you shouldn't be on the football field. They can't trust you. And at some point, the only way you get to a guy like that is you take recess away.
Would you have pulled him out of that game, Mark, then?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, and that's a that goes on Mike Tomlin. You cannot let that guy become a distraction. And I understand that he's a world-class talent. I don't care. You know, and so those are things like that. That level of selfishness, you know, you wonder why you don't win championships. You wonder why you can't win a playoff game. You wonder why these things happen. Like, you know, great things happen when you care more about the people you play for than you care about yourself. And I doubt that George Pickens cares about anybody more than he cares about himself. And that's a recipe for losing. And so those are things that I just can't tolerate. And like,
can it change 3 years into a guy's career, Mark? Can you see a guy become a different player this long into his pro career?
Well, I think either he sometimes it has to take an event, you know, a catalytic event in that guy's life to make him do that. So certainly it can happen. There's no question that it can happen. But at what point is he going to get shaken to the point where he's like, wow, what I'm doing is not good? And so I don't know what the answer to that is. Like, I see that kind of selfishness, and I would like to make him go down to one-on-ones and put him at guard and just have the defensive lineman take one-on-one pass rush on him and beat his ass. Because then you would understand what everybody else has to do so that you can even sniff a football. 10 other guys have to do their job exceptionally well for you to even sniff it. And you don't understand everybody else's problems, and that's an issue for me. Like, you need to understand and respect what everybody else has to do so that you can be a star.
Mark, I remember vividly watching, and I hate to bring up a bad memory, but you won Super Bowls in Denver, so I feel like I can kind of get away with it. I've watched that NFL Films show of you talking about the Jacksonville playoff loss, and you being like, I had a horrible feeling about it. I kind of saw it coming. They were a second-year team, expansion team. I just did not have a good feeling about the game, and then, of course, you guys lost. The Ravens have already acted like they're going to win this game. Harbaugh's talking about Zay Flowers getting ready for next week's game when they haven't won this one yet. And back to Pickens, Ravens players are mocking him in their locker room. A social media video of that went out of them talking about how Lamar Jackson's cologne smells like George Pickens. It's soft. So I'm just curious, like, the psyche of the Ravens, and also the fact that the Steelers have beaten them head-to-head so much, do you think that it's possible they are looking past them and might lay an egg in this game?
Well, I think it's possible. And you look at Lamar Jackson, I mean, he's 2-4 in the playoffs, completing 57% of his passes, has 9 total touchdowns and 9 turnovers. Like, yeah, that's a recipe for disaster. So certainly I don't like, you know, looking beyond or talking smack or giving locker room, you know, giving bulletin board material. The thing about bulletin board material that's interesting to me is, you know, never one time did I ever think sitting on the bench or playing in the game, they said this about us, you know. And but what it does is you always have, like, you have the majority of the guys on your football team are professionals. But you're always going to have 6-7 guys that are flirting with unprofessionalism, right? And if you can get everybody completely honed in during the week of practice, that's when all of a sudden it makes a difference. Like, everybody is totally locked in, and the practice goes well, and the preparation goes well, and the study goes well, and that stuff lends itself to playing better on Sundays. So that's where I always thought the bulletin board material is actually real, because it's something you talk about during the week, and it gets guys more locked in. So if you can use that, but like I remember Super Bowl 32 playing in that game, and we're 13-point underdogs at the opening of the week, and 11.5 point to kick off, you know, and we were really pissed in the locker room because, you know, it's warm out and we both play in cold weather cities. So, you know, you're not in great shape on the line of scrimmage, like when you play in cold weather cities. And you know, and it was interesting because they had a rotational defensive lineman that they chose not to dress against us in that game. And that was such an insult to us in the locker room before the game. Like, can you believe these, you know what, think that they can just go out here and manhandle us? They don't know, like, they don't understand what we do. And they need that rotation. That rotational piece is going to cost them. And it was really, it really pissed us off. We were sitting in the locker room before the Super Bowl. Pissed us off. But you know what? I didn't think about it one time during the game because I'm too busy trying to get the guy that, like the guy that I have to block. I'm too busy worried about my assignment and making sure we get it. But when the game was over and, you know, it was fourth down and they had an incomplete pass and we won the Super Bowl, then you start thinking about it. But you don't think about any of that stuff during the course of a game.
Mark, who needs this game more, Lamar Jackson or Mike Tomlin?
I think Lamar Jackson. I mean, I think, you know, the narrative is Lamar Jackson has struggled in the playoffs, and that's true. And that's also a narrative, obviously, with Mike Tomlin not having won a playoff game since 2016. But come on, everybody in America had the Steelers as the fourth best team in the division, maybe the third best. But everybody had Baltimore ahead of them, had Cincinnati ahead of them, and some had Cleveland. So they were either third or fourth in their own division. And the fact that they were leading that division for the majority of the year, Baltimore obviously caught them. But I think that's a hell of a job coaching. And so I think it goes to Lamar to legitimize, you know, all these MVPs that Lamar has. He's got to do better in the playoffs, no question about it.
Mark Schlereth, one of the great NFL analysts, Stinkin' Truth Podcast, FS1's Breakfast Ball. How do the Steelers win this game on Saturday night? Mark, are you picking the Steelers to go in there and slay the dragon?
No, I'm taking the Ravens. Like, everybody talks about the Steelers' defense, and I think one of the issues here the last couple of weeks is that they're leaking a little bit of oil. They've had to basically carry the team to a degree. And nobody's talking about Baltimore's defense. Baltimore's had the best defense in the National Football League in the last 6 weeks of the season. They have been outstanding ever since they moved Kyle Hamilton, and they talk about that, Kyle Hamilton moving back to kind of the free safety position, not spending as much time on the line of scrimmage, even though he still does. But they have said how much that has changed their defense, and they have been – I mean, they have just been lights out the last 5 or 6 weeks. So I'm giving it to Baltimore. I think they go in, and I think they handle their business in Baltimore.
Mark, thank you. Send my best to Danny, and we'll talk again soon, okay?
Sounds good, guys. Be well.
Thank you, Mark Schlereth. And pretty straight talk there on Pickens, huh?
Well, he did like the actual I've been there, done that pro athlete version of our famous callers. Hey, what are you doing?
He really did.
What are you doing?
And I think...
Put him at guard and let him get rolled a couple times. Hey, this is what we have to do so you can catch a pass.
I think BMAC did that too. He said someone who's in uniform, not a coach, needs to go up to the guy and kind of reel him in and get him locked in for the game.
I do think, I mean, he said, guy, I kind of led the witness a little bit. I said, can guys change this far into their careers? But man, how many examples are there? Usually, honestly, Pony, when you see guys like have like a renaissance where they become kind of a completely different, more team-oriented player, honestly, I think of stuff like they were having off-the-field problems, like Chris Carter.
I thought that his name popped into my head, too.
That's the first one. Again, you're talking about a guy who had major issues off the field. That is the weird thing about Pickens. There's nothing. It's total radio silence away from football.
Does anybody anymore in a locker room, like, you know, TJ or Cam, come up to him and say, hey, what are you doing?
Sound advice.
Can you imagine if that was on Breakfast Ball, that he was just like, hey, Danny, does anybody just come up to him in the locker room?
5:47. Time to start your weekend off right with Archie's Famous Wings. The Hodgepodge is brought to you by Two Men and a Junk Truck. Visit them at twomenandajunktruck.com. In 26 hours and change, we will have Steelers and Ravens for all the marbles. In Baltimore, in the playoffs for the first time, first playoff matchup between these two teams in 10 years. The Ravens won the last one, but all time the Steelers have the edge, 3-1.
This is a hodgepodge of nothingness.
And it is time to put our official score predictions out there, starting with a man who always finds a reason to pick Mike Tomlin and make excuses for Mike Tomlin, intern Dumb.
I get to go first.
Yep.
This is big. Yeah,
What's the number we're using?
10. 10-point favorite.
Just making sure.
So are we picking the team or are we picking the spread?
Just pick the score and then we'll figure out who you picked against
the
spread.
I got you. I feel you.
Actually down to 9.5.
Okay, so that's important because Donnie got it at 10.
So I've been thinking back and forth about what I was going to do in this spot.
No, you haven't.
You're making it up and vamping right now fact that you haven't made a pick yet.
I am not making it up and vamping.
He's not going to vacillate on this or waffle on it. He believes in Mike Tomlin. He's going to pick Mike Tomlin to win this one.
I'm going to pick the Steelers to win 20-17.
Based on what? Blind faith in Mike?
Based on a few things. One, Lamar Jackson has proven that he is not a great playoff quarterback, and he doesn't play well against the Steelers. Both of the games this year have been a lot closer than people realize. Steelers won the first game, and the second...
I think people realize how close that game was, to be fair.
They won the game, and in the second game, it was a one-score game in the fourth quarter before Russ threw a pick six. So I trust Russell Wilson more in the playoffs than Lamar Jackson, and if Mike Tomlin is as good of a coach as I say he is, then he should go in and win a game tomorrow that nobody except me, Mark Caboli, and BMAC are giving them a chance to win.
Dom, what does CWFF, Caleb Williams Football Focus, say about this game? I want you to pick it based on how many guys playing in this game were teammates at one time of Caleb Williams, since you think he's still like one of the greatest quarterbacks ever to grace a football field.
Well, he is. What do you mean teammates?
Nah, I'm just messing with you.
All right, so 20-17 Steelers from Dom.
Yeah, you're up first now in the way we have the batting order structured here. Between me and you. Donnie already took Baltimore minus 10.
Baltimore... 30. Dun, dun, dun. Pittsburgh. 13. I don't believe in Tomlin. I think this time of year brings out the worst in him.
You don't say.
I thought there was a chance we'd get to a game like this, and I would believe that Russell Wilson could overcome Tomlin's struggles in these situations. I no longer feel that way. Schlereth was right. He is taking too many sacks again. The Steelers are averaging 4 sacks per game during this losing skid. That's 1 per quarter of Russ going down for big losses. Their starts are crappy in the playoffs. Their starts have been disgusting in the regular season. They have given up more points in the first quarter than any team in the NFL for $130 million defense, and they usually get their crap together. But in the playoffs, when that happens, it's too little, too late, and the offense can't dig themselves out of that hole. 3 and outs galore early in games. This whole burn the boats thing, I don't know what the heck that means, that they're going to like leave no stone unturned. I don't think that's more Justin Fields. I don't think that's more Mike Williams. I don't think that means Najee Harris gets benched for Jaylen Warren and Warren starts the game at running back. I also don't think it means that Russell Wilson comes out guns a-blazing, because I think Mike Tomlin actually, believe it or not, agrees with intern Dom. The way to win the game is not, oh, the Ravens are going to get theirs. They're going to score 27 points or 30 points like Pony said. So let's try to fight fire with fire and beat them 31-30. I think Mike Tomlin thinks the only way to do that is to win 20-17. So wait on their mistakes, pounce on them, win the turnover battle. They commit a lot of penalties. Hope that that screws them up. Hope that Lamar loses his mind because it's a playoff game again. I don't think that'll happen. I got to see Mike win a playoff game before I pick it to happen. Ravens 30, Steelers 13. Malzi.
You know, a wise man once said you can bleep in one hand and wish or hope in the other and see which fills up
was
faster.
Was that Edgar Wilde?
Oscar Wilde.
Oscar Wilde? Was Edgar his...
No, it was Edgar Allan Poe, actually. After he did The Raven, he penned that little sonnet. Derrick Henry... Here's the thing about John Harbaugh. I think we had a great call from Robin O'Hara yesterday who said usually it's dumb and dumber when he and Tomlin meet. He's dumber, Tomlin's dumb, but they flipped roles the last game, and now Tomlin is dumber and Harbaugh is merely dumb. I also think they figured something out from game 1 to game 2, saw it work, and they're going to keep working it, and it's Derrick Henry. He is averaging, I think he's run for 227 yards on something like not even 40 carries against the Steelers this year, like 37 carries.
That fumble-a-rooski basically won the Steelers that first matchup because it changed the way Harbaugh played him the rest of the way.
Yeah, Harbaugh's got some Tomlin in him because I think Tomlin has put the clamps on Russ because, not leaving the clamps in Russ, he's put the clamps on Russ
and
because, yes, Pony.
To your point, though, I just had this pop into my head. Something that actually hurt the Steelers in the last game is, I remember Justice Hill basically got knocked out of that
correct
game. Like,
and they just
cold
went Henry, Henry, Henry.
Yeah.
And I think John Harbaugh's going to learn from that. I think that's the ace in the hole. I don't think Zay Flowers being out matters a whole hell of a lot. They've still got Likely. They've still got Andrews. They still have a guy in Bateman who is not Zay Flowers, but He's had a pretty good year. I don't think there's going to be this trickle-down where suddenly the Steelers can gear up to stop Derrick Henry because they don't have to worry about Zay Flowers. That guy's been averaging about 6 yards a rip against the Steelers, if not a little bit more, in the two games this year. I think that continues. And then I think so much of what we heard Dom say there, and I'm going to take Dom's prediction seriously, a lot of the people that think the Steelers are going to win think that the Ravens will self-destruct in this game. That is not a good sign for me when that's all people are hoping for, because that's not an affirmative case.
That's the thing we said to Mark. That's Ravens lose
right.
the game, not
it's
Steelers
not
win
it. It's not an affirmative case for why the Steelers can win it. It's why the Ravens will lose it. I think Mike Tomlin knows his team's back is against the wall, even if he feels confidence from playing the Ravens. And I think he's also going to revert back to his most primal form as a football coach. I want to run the ball, ground and pound. It's the Ravens. I want to make it ugly. I've had success making it ugly. The problem is the Steelers are stuck in that mode. The Ravens have moved on. And that is why this game is going to be yet another in the long line of playoff disappointments that don't even feel like competitive games.
Have I missed you give the score yet? I'm sorry, I zoned out. I'm hearing your take, which is good, but I'm like,
not
did
really.
I have one of those pony moments where I let you, the score go in one ear and out the other?
I realize that I have that happen sometimes in an interview if a guest gives a long answer, but then I realize I know the entirety of the answer too.
Okay.
So it's comforting that I remember the whole answer correctly. That's why, because of everything that I just said, the score tomorrow night at about 11:15, 31. Steelers, 14.
Man, we basically have the same score. That's scary. You gave the Ravens one more point. You gave the Steelers one more point than me.
I just have a hard time imagining in your scenario the Steelers actually mounting three drives that end in points at the way things have been going. I think they'd be more likely to get a lightning bolt touchdown and then one touchdown drive.
I think they might get something kooky special teams that helps them.
Fake John and Robinson, to that end, did request of me earlier in the show, and though I didn't see the text until much later, he said, you should be asking if one of the players you and Kabali and Pony trust is Corliss Waitman, not only because they'll need him to punt a lot in this game, but because they probably need to rely on Baltimore fumbling one of his punts so they can get a cheapo touchdown.
Which happened in the first game, but the Ravens pounced on it. Or the last game. Anyways.
Last word, it just is a bummer to feel like this going into a playoff game.
It goes
game
back
again.
To Joshio. We're going to finish where we started, the Joshio Giant Eagle test. He went into Giant Eagle. He thought he was going to see people in the produce section and at the meat counter in their Heath Miller jerseys from 20 years ago, in their Polamalu jersey where the numbers are fading and it's been through the wash too many times, so some of the coloring of it and stuff is peeling off. No.
None of that. I'm just reading Dom's show notes that he just sent out because he mentions the Giant Eagle test. And then at 2:46, it says, apparently Ravens fans aren't worried about the Steelers tomorrow. Pony says that would make a Pittsburgh win that much nicer. Do hairy butts typically smell worse than clean-shaven butts? Don't ask.
You have to include everything in the show notes.
And not if you're Harry Callis.
I was going to say, you barely have to put times in.
Mackey's standing by. Win or lose, we will be here Monday, and we will either incur the wrath of Steelers fans or we won't get credit for saying the Ravens won the game. PM team signing off.